Welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Extreme Gaming Podcast, episode 317. I'm GreyGamer25, and my buddies here are Trev, Matt, and Hans. Howdy.
Hello.
Hello.
How are we doing?
Hello there.
We are all doing good, I think, except for Hans. He has a bad cold, so, but he's a trooper. He showed up.
Man flu.
It's deadly. It's deadly, man. It kills men in their thousands and millions.
You know, this is what women feel like. I mean, when they give birth, they almost feel like we are feeling right now.
No, they feel a lot worse than that, dude.
Any female listeners listened to are now getting their pitchforks out to come after you, Hans, and yell you.
Good. That's one more.
They're extremely rare cases where somebody will go like, my labor was nothing. That's really rare.
I didn't feel a thing during my daughter's birth, so.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's brilliant.
That's the blessing we got out of all that. You know, it's kind of like that. What was it? A comedy show I saw one time where the woman points at her belly and goes, "You did this to me." Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you left me.
Yeah.
You weren't complaining.
Well, that's maybe another thing, but let's go.
All right, well, we'll get some paperwork out of the way. If you want to join our Discord and talk to us about, you know, labor pains, it's discord.gg/extremegamingpodcast. And if you'd like to email us, you can do that too. info@extremegamingpodcast.com. Really quickly, if you like what you just heard, how much fun we always have, and you're a regular person, or if you're not a regular person, listen to a new podcast we're going to be doing monthly starting February 3rd. It's called Extreme Hollywood. So we are going to do the same kind of format-ish and apply it to the entertainment industry. So one thing I wanted to say right up front, I always say when I'm doing a show like that, an entertainment show, we are not entertainment critics. We are not critics. We are entertainment commentators. So we basically just say what we feel, what we like. Do we see every single movie that's released? No, I don't think anybody does. But we have a lot of fun, and we are going to have a lot of fun because there's so much to talk about, like the death of Star Trek, the death of Star Wars.
No, not death. They already are dead. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And then we're going to get into whether any of them could be revived, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
That's it. I'll save you the whole hassle of listening to the podcast. No, they can't.
You can tell us all that on our Extreme Hollywood. So that'll be February. Well, we're going to record it probably February 3rd. It's actually going to be released around February 5th. So, but you'll hear it. If you're a regular person, listener to us, you will hear it. All right, so we're going to go on because this is gaming podcast extreme or gaming. Yeah, I got it. So I'm going to start off a little bit with stuff that's coming up very soon in February. There's going to be some games coming out. There's always like a lot of games that come out and we can't go over all of them. But we will at least go over some of the ones that I saw in the list that are like anticipated or whatever. So we'll go kind of like one at a time and just make any comments we wish on it from us. First one up is one I know Trev can't wait for, I guess, and it's Resident Evil Requiem. That will be coming out on February 27th. From what I understand, maybe you could tell me more about this, Trev. They said it's going to be leaning more psychological horror instead of action, per se. This is what I'm hearing.
I don't know. I'm actually not reading too much into it on purpose.
I read an article. I'm not going to say too much about spoiling, but there's two kinds of gameplay in there. So,
okay.
Excuse you.
One of them is about sneezing.
Yeah. One of them is the person has a cold and gets wiped out right away.
Yeah. Hans, what is, have you pre-ordered your copy? If so, how much did you pay for it?
No pre-orders. There's no physical copy coming on PC, apparently. So, yeah, I'll just buy it.
Of course not.
I get my pre-order in with Loaded, formerly known as CD Keys, for £40.
Good price.
Which is pretty good. That's £20 under MSRP for PC, because a PC AAA is £60. Yeah. So £40, I'm kind of happy with that.
I think this is €70. Sorry, I said pounds. So £69.99 over here, I think.
Yeah, but you'll get it cheaper from Loaded if you haven't looked at Loaded.
Of course.
Yeah, but you know what?
I almost never buy off Steam itself unless it's a very good sale. So,
but 40 sounds awfully cheap. I mean, that would almost make me believe that the game is going to be 5 hours long, and that'll be it.
No, that's the kind of price that Loaded charge, Gray. That's the kind of price they undercut a lot of the guys online a lot, and it's usually a legitimate key. I've never had problems. Formerly CD keys, people will know that.
I'm very familiar with the formerly CD keys.
I use Gumevo and whatever.
Yeah,
is cheap.
They're good. Yeah, I've seen that one too. But over here, I mean, when I look at CD keys, I've looked at it quite often just to see what's going on. Most of the time over here, I don't know if it's different over there, but I might save $5, and I'm like, if I don't save 10 or more, I don't even bother.
Depending on the game.
Yeah, that's the kind of the game. I usually save more. It's weird.
That's not surprising. You're 40. I'll have to check CD keys over here and see if it's anything different. Are we safe to say that's one you're really happy about there, Trev?
Yeah. Hans is really... We both love that franchise dearly.
As I said before, it's my second favorite franchise of all time, so it's awesome. So
it's up there. It's probably my third favorite behind Half-Life, Doom, that kind of thing. But I generally adore it. So I will be looking forward to... I've got some news and some other Resident Evil stuff in a little while as well. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that game because it carries on from the other two games before. So kind of continuation of the story. It's the daughter's side of things this time. And Leon's back in it again, the guy that kind of takes no prisoners and kicks ass and chews bubblegum, even though he's all out of gum. So I'll be looking forward to that. And it won't be 5 hours long, it'll be longer than that.
It's going to be at least 10.
So. I think it'll be longer than that.
I hope so.
Truth or told, yeah.
To be fair, the fourth one I played 22 hours, but I play very slowly, so to speak. So, especially on those higher difficulties, you can't really rush through those games anyway. So I have to be a lot more careful.
Apparently, legendary mode, very, very hard. The hardest setting you get on that. I don't know if it's unlocked straight away. The only way to save the game is to find typewriters and find the little cartridges for the typewriters like you did back in the day.
I hope this is available, at the start.
I'm not doing that. I want to enjoy it.
Do they have an easy difficulty on that one?
It's called Gray Gamer 25 setting.
Yeah, thanks.
It's called the want difficulty or something with Gray. So,
Gray, why would you take difficulty down? I always start it in the default, the way it was meant.
No, I always do default. But I didn't know whether that game would not do easy because it would take a lot away from it. So I didn't know there would be an easy mode necessarily.
The thing is, though, games
back in the old days, so to speak, were a lot more difficult than now. I mean, have you ever played Ghosts and Goblins?
Which one?
Yeah, oh God.
Ghosts and Goblins. I mean, that game is probably the hardest game ever made. Not that long ago, I played the remake, the Resurrection one. And, I mean, I can't even get past the first stage. It's that hard.
Wow. Well, Hans, remember older games didn't have saves in them, like way back.
Oh, so that was
awful. You had to do it in one sitting?
There was this one game on my Nintendo or Atari, I'm not sure which one it was, called Low G-Man or something, whatever. There were no passwords, no saving. So I left my console or whatever 48 hours on, so I just didn't.
And your mum unplugged the console, you plug in the Hoover.
I don't remember. So.
I don't remember what game it was. I remember it was a long playthrough. And I was like, right, I'm going to leave. No one touched that. I'm leaving it overnight. I'll get it tomorrow. My mom comes in and forgets, unplugs it to plug in the Hoover. I went apeshit.
I bet. I would throw the Hoover out the window. She'd probably throw us as well.
I was going to say, you can't throw her out the window, but he just said you could.
We're both going out.
I once killed a controller, if I remember correctly, from, I think, the Mega Drive back in the day. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even my controller. A friend of mine had the Mega Drive for us with the weekend, and we played, I think it was Golden X2. And we always die at the boss, and we almost had him. Yeah. And then something happened that the power was cut or whatever. I threw the controller away. And those Mega Drive controllers, they were bricks, right? They were
You just reminded me of something. When you said power went out, I can remember playing older games
something
on the PC even. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, boom, and I go, ah, you hear me screaming. Because then when you went back into the game, it's like, well, start this level over. And like, oh, no, no, please.
I die.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It does. Anyway, moving on to the second game we're going to talk about is Neo 3.
Oh, yes. Neo I want 3. That too.
This sounds interesting. I never played the other Neos, but this one looks pretty good. Anyway, it's an upcoming Dark Samurai action RPG, if you didn't already know, developed by Team Ninja. It's going to continue the Neo series, known for its punishing comeback, supernatural Japanese themes, and historical storytelling.
It's a Dark Souls difficulty. I mean, Elden Ring is pretty easy compared to Neo, so.
No.
Yeah.
Come on. They better have an easier mode then, because I won't last.
No, there's no modes. It's just one, at least with the formal one, just one difficulty.
I'll just watch you play as well.
It's really punishing and really brutal. So.
I might have to go to Wiimote, or no, now it's Wand. Everybody's changing their names. CD Keys is what now, you said? I forgot.
Loaded,
right.
Do you know what it is? They get bought over or they get bought out. Mm. That's usually what happens.
Rebranding. Yeah, so Wiimote is now Wand, like wave the wand and all this. But they have gotten a lot better. They've actually introduced maps, interactive maps, and a couple of other things. And also, if you do the pro account, which is not expensive, I forgot what
it was. I gotta ask, isn't using like a cheat take a lot away from the game?
No, because like I was saying before, if
he's
you do
too
the
old
pro,
to remember.
No, if you do a pro version of a wand. It allows you even more fine tuning. So that way you could just sit there and bring your difficulty level. Let's just say an example up by micro points. So it's kind of like, you know, well, I don't want it to be like super easy or, you know, something. You just kind of adjust it a little. And then when you want to go like damage multipliers, let's say you wanted to lower your damage multiplier damage that you take by a 10th or something. Right.
Yeah. Okay. But
you could do that.
At that point, doesn't it take away your personal achievement, so to speak? I mean, being good at video games is not a good thing to be, right? There's nothing to be proud of, by the way. But I mean, just from a personal standpoint.
I mean, for me, I look at it this way. I don't care about the like on Steam or whatever, when you get the Steam achievements and you get an award by doing this, that, and the other thing. I don't care about any of that crap. All I care about is whether I have fun. So if I play the game and I don't have fun, then I got to do something to tweak it to so I will have fun. Otherwise, what's the use?
True, yeah.
And it's not like I use Wand a lot. I use it only in certain things. But, you know, and I said, I'm very careful. I only tweak a little at a time. Yeah. So I get it just about where it should be, where I'm, instead of getting my ass handed to me 10 times, maybe I only get it handed to me 2 times. So I have a chance.
But you have to have a little bit of, what do you say, perseverance, I think it is in English.
Yeah.
So well, if you have the perseverance, you go and play like 100 and whatever levels on whatever the game was.
Dark Souls.
I can't even believe you did that.
Oh, mate. No.
Oh, my God. I would have given up way before then.
Oh, no, not me. I mean, I'm too stubborn to, you know, to admit defeat. So
I'm stubborn, but you're beyond me, man.
Using Wand, I mean, I don't think it's really bad. People say, why do you play hard difficulty? Why didn't make it easy? It's like, I think it's fun to play at higher difficulties and not die, right?
Hands to start with, though, or straight away?
Oh, yeah, no, straight away.
Because I want to enjoy it, and then I'd maybe go back and play it.
For me, it's the other way around. I enjoy it at the hardest difficulty.
I don't usually do that. I mean, go ahead.
There are instances where it's like, okay, this is just insane. Like, was it? I think the first God of War. Mm-hmm. I mean, of the modern ones, I think had this God of War difficulty, which actually didn't make the game more difficult. He just made the enemies have an insane amount of hit points. And that, in my opinion, is not a difficulty level, right? That's just stupid. Just upping the hit points is nothing more difficult.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, annoyingly long fight. So that I didn't do. That's just put back on normal back then. So
since you're a glutton for punishment, Hans, what you could do is you put it on difficulty hard difficulty like you like. Then to put Wand on and then make it even more difficult.
But the same thing then, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you look at Elden Ring, there's a guy that beat it with using a trumpet or something.
Saxophone or a banana. I mean, it's just like, man, whoa.
Those things are beyond me, right? So,
I wasn't aware that was an input device, but maybe it is, and I just was missing out on the news.
If you do a search on Google and put playing games, banana, potato, I don't know what else, it comes up. People have done this.
I bet it does come up.
There's a blind playthroughs of Monster Hunter, just people blindfolded.
So, that's true. It's true. Yeah. He's telling the truth.
They literally just listen to the sounds and then they know where the boss is positioned. That would be something I could never do.
They must be virgins. They must be.
They're mostly females, and not that they're virgins, but still.
So. They must still be virgins.
Yeah.
Hey, even though it's crazy, the only props I would give them that they actually were able to do it. Other than that, I'm going like, you're crazy, man.
I draw the line at the normal game difficulty, so to speak, the one that the game provides you. I ain't going beyond that. I mean, let's take Silksong, for example. That is a game I have to admit a defeat on, right? So I can't do this. Yeah, I can't do this, right?
On normal difficulty?
There is no difficulty level.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, there is a difficulty level. So, I'm very near the end of the game, right? And I'm stuck at this one boss. I forgot his name. I can't do this. I did it over 100 times now. I said, okay, I'm done. So what
have
I'm going
to
do is...
Have you watched videos on how to do it, Hans, maybe in case there's a time?
Oh, I did. I just don't have the reflexes anymore. I'm an old man now, right? So,
That's when you use... That's when you use wand.
I want to see the ending. I will use wand.
Okay. So, all right,
the problem is, I will get a stupid achievement on Steam, and it will bug me.
Hey, what was the game? I think it was either Doom or Wolfenstein that had the level. I think it was the easiest level. They go cry like a baby, or the hardest level, cry like a baby. Whatever it was,
That some have cool names. Some have cool names.
They should do that all the time, man. Don't just sit there and go like, well, hard, medium, low. They should just go, you're a baby, and the next one goes up and says, yeah, this is much more than just a little past baby.
Hurt me plenty.
I like it when devs do that, to be fair. So.
Yeah. Did Nukem do that as well?
Similar.
I think only Doom still does that a little bit, but other games don't bother.
To be fair, I'm not saying Wolfenstein does this, but some games, if I was designing a game, I would be having it on like normal, just normal, and then other levels below would be like pussy, and then like gray, and then like just whatever, like levels, and then hard and like super staunch, and then like shagger or something. Like I just have all these different difficulty levels.
You gave me a great idea. I've got to go search.
Hey,
on the,
you better
on
not patent that. I'm going to the patent office right now.
No, but I'm wondering is if I don't think this is true, but if I go on Nexus Mods, I wonder if anybody created a mod that would do that to rename everything. I would love that. That would be so cool.
I remember, Trev, I let Gray play, what was it, Horizon Forbidden West on the hardest difficulty? And I think he gave up after 15 minutes?
Yeah, I gave up like after a minute.
He couldn't pass the so-called tutorial zone, so to speak.
As I've always said, I mostly just play normal. However, on the odd occasion, I'll bump it up one level. Like in Doom, I've done that before, bump it up one level. Yeah. Because that game is so fast-paced that it makes sense for me to do that. If it's a slower game, I want to enjoy it. Very rarely do I take the difficulty down. Only if I'm really struggling, and I like the games that give you difficulty adaptability throughout the game. You can change it on a drop of a hat. Otherwise, I'm not interested. I don't want to have to go back and play it again and load a difficulty. So,
But I think it's okay to play on easy. I mean, whatever. If you're having fun, right?
As long as you try it on normal to begin with, Hans. To be fair,
not even that for me. I mean, if people enjoy the game on easy, just let them enjoy it on easy. I mean, I don't really care about achievements anyway. So,
that's my motto too. When I approach the line where it's not fun, then what am I doing?
There's a lot of gamers out there that say, "Oh, I play on the hardest difficulty," and they think it's an achievement. No, it's not. Being good at video games is not an achievement, people.
You do need to, if you want to get, say, a trophy, a platinum trophy on PlayStation, you have to.
That could be, yeah.
Complete it in a difficulty setting that's higher than the norm. Not always, sometimes.
To be fair, I don't think they should do that. I mean,
it's supposed to be difficult to get a platinum trophy. Nah, speaking of which, I got rid of my PS5 Pro.
Oh, so what is it? Why?
Because it's hard. I was hardly playing it. If I've got equipment that I hardly use and touch, it's wasted, and I could be putting it towards a new CPU or something. So that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, I'll get the 9850 X3D when it comes out.
But you're not renting it out.
You're going to get it? You're going to get
it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, but I won't get the 9950 X3D 2 because we don't know when that will come out, and I don't think it's worth the while. Whereas a 9850 X3D would probably be the one that I want.
You use your computer mostly for gaming, I take it, right?
Of course. And the other things that I do use it for, it won't take too long to do what I need
to
do.
And you also, from what I understand, you mostly play single player, not so fast paced games, I guess.
No, Doom's an exception, and COD and stuff. General, but yeah. I mean, normally I like the kind of the Sony type games, like the Last.
The thing is, though,
Horizon.
Because some people were commenting about the frame rate dips and stuff that I had with AMD, right? So the thing is, if you're just playing, let's say, your single player games like your Last of Us, like RPGs, whatever, right?
Yeah, you're not doing those.
Then it doesn't really matter at that point.
Yeah. Right?
It's fine. 60 is fine. It's absolutely fine.
You might notice it in Doom, but you would notice it in those.
See, that's the exception. Doom mostly has high frame rates. You're going to notice a dip there. But if you, let's say, play Alan Wake 2, which is, if you get 60 FPS.
Makes a 50-90 cry, doesn't it? Apparently.
Yeah, but if you get 60 FPS, it's fine for those kind of games. I mean,
exactly. Yeah,
60 is the baseline for most single player games, in my opinion.
If you're not moving about fast pace, fast action, 60 is fine because then you can bump up all the other settings and make it look nice.
Yeah, I mean, enjoy the eye candy. I say then. So that's my motto.
You mean Stellar Blade? Of course.
Yeah, Cheeseburger Simulator.
did you ever? Sorry to go on a bit of a tangent here, but did you ever finish the game?
No, that's what we do on the show, man. That's great.
Yeah, but did you ever finish the game? Because I couldn't finish the game. I didn't like it.
He finished something else, so I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. I didn't think it was a good game.
it's not supposed to be. It's just supposed to be you're looking at it and you're like,
but after like 6 or 7 hours, you can only look at so much. I mean, it's like the game doesn't get interesting, so. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the third game. I guess along some of the same lines, this is Yakuza. I don't know if I'm saying this right, but Yakuza Kiwami 3.
That's a JRPG, I think.
Yakuza, but this is apparently a remake, I think. But they packaged it with a new companion game as well. Oh. So you're kind of getting a twofer. Getting a full remake of Yakuza 3 from 2009. And an all-new companion story, Dark Ties. So it's kind of like remaking and giving you a new DLC. I thought that was kind of neat.
Oh, that's cool. I don't do that often. I like that.
I mean, at least you're getting a little bit more for your money. So it's kind of like, all right. And I don't know what the game's going to cost, but that's coming out on February 12th. The one prior Neo is February 6th, I believe.
I was just going to ask. What date was it, Gray? Neo?
It's February 6th. Let me just double check. February 6th for Neo. Yep.
Neo 16 here.
So that's gonna I have never played the Yakuza games, but I do hear they're pretty good. But I just kind of I took it not just because it was a popular game apparently, but I really thought this idea of packaging a new DLC and it was pretty neat. And I think that's something maybe they should do.
Is Neo 3 not on PC?
I think it's on PC. Hmm. I'm pretty sure.
Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong, but I believe so.
I got it. Okay. It didn't show up in my thing, so weird.
Game number 4 is High on Life 2. I didn't even know they were going to make a second High on Life, and this is going to be released on February 13th. I played the first one, and I only paid maybe about 25% of it, but I did enjoy it. It was very wacky, very funny. Mm-hmm. This is where the gun you use is alive, like, and it talks back to you and insults you. While you're doing stuff. I just thought that maybe that seemed to be more of a one-off game. I'm going I don't know if I'd want to play that again necessarily, but it's sold well. So they always have to have a sequel, even if it doesn't do that great. So they are going to do it. Comedy shooters are rare, so apparently people may be following it. We'll see.
Speaking of comedy shooters, did anybody ever play Redneck Rampage back in the day?
Oh, no, but I've heard of it.
Oh, what? Man.
That goes back.
It's a shooter where you played with two hillbillies, and it was a crazy game.
They should remake that game or make a new one.
By the way, yeah, it's in the 90s. Summer's crazy game.
That's genius. So,
yeah. By the way, very quickly, Neo 3 is a whopping €80 new on Steam and €120 for the collector's edition.
Gotcha. So. I'll be getting shit on that one, if you know what I mean.
There's no way.
You'd like High on Life, there is going to be a second, February 13th, so enjoy. The fifth game I'm bringing up is Dragon Quest VII Reimagined. So apparently Dragon Quest VII is reimagined as a full remake of the JRPG Dragon Quest VII by Square Enix. They're putting in new Dinorama-style 3D visuals, modern systems. They're streamlining the story flow. They refreshed the combat and a whole bunch of quality of life improvements. So any of you guys ever play that game?
No.
Does it ring a bell?
Not my style. One?
Well, it rings a bell, but I didn't play. So for you fans out there that are listening to us, do we play every game? No, we don't. This is one of them. But if you are a fan of this, I think you might want to check it out. And that's coming up February 5th, so won't be very long. Staying in the motif of game news and the other games that are coming up, I went and watched the Xbox Dev Direct, see what was going on. Because even though they don't introduce as many games during one of those, they do put some in there. And the one that topped everything that everyone's been talking about is Fable. And they did a very good, if you guys saw it, it was a very good reveal of what the back story and stuff and what they're doing. And what I didn't know, which is interesting, is that the same developer that does Forza Horizon is doing the game. So, yeah. And even the guy kind of said that. He goes, so what's a developer that's good in race cars, doing for Fable? And he just said, to be honest, he said it was a pet project that we all are really, really wanted to do. And we're putting a lot of care, and they all played the old game. And
great, if there's any cars at all in Fable, then they're going to be shit hot.
But there won't be.
Only the four-legged kinds.
What they call turntable or playground or something? Turn 10?
If you guys haven't seen it, you've got to watch it, but I'll kind of bring up the highlights. The thing that I thought was, first of all, it looks amazing. I mean, amazing. And I'm sitting there going like, this can't be AI-generated crap. It's got to be, and sure enough, it's all hand-drawn. I mean, everything. And I'm just like, it looks so good. I mean, I very much respect. It looks really good. I mean, really good. And so I forgot the name of the main city, Alaron?
Eldoron.
No, not Eldoron. I don't remember. But here's the thing that I thought was impressive. They said it's going to be a huge open world. And they said that from the very beginning, when you start the game, you can go anywhere you want. You don't have to cover a linear path. You don't have to go by the quest numbers or whatever.
Why do more games not allow that? I don't get it. Like, listen, you should be able to go wherever you want in that map. Not do what you want, but go wherever you want. It's just that you can't complete certain things until you get to that point in the mission. I get it.
Yeah.
Always allow it.
I can't recall the exact game, but there's a couple of games like that let you do that. And I used to like going for the hard stuff just to see if I could do it at a lower level. I mean, I was like level 5 and I went after level 25, and I didn't care about killing the enemy. What I cared about was the goodies that they had. So basically it took a while, but I just stealthed my way in there and I stole the level 25 goodies and then ran off. I mean, but you can't do that in a normal game. No, you can't do that. You gotta wait till you're that level. And like, no, I don't. I want to do whatever I want.
Some sort of block. Yeah.
And you guys probably have done this before. Remember when you go into an open world map and you're going like, ooh, I want to go over there. And you go over there and all of a sudden you hit the wall. Boing.
Yeah,
You cannot go anymore.
It's invisible.
You left the area. You must go back now. And it has a countdown. 5, 4, 3.
Yeah. Good time.
And I'm sitting there going like, damn, man. But occasionally, I don't know if you guys ever hit this, I had a flying, I don't know what it was, so. Some kind of creature, and I made it over the wall because it didn't go high enough, so I was able to fly over the wall.
Was this Pandora?
I don't remember what game it was, to be honest. So I flew over the wall, but the problem was when you fly over the wall,
Minecraft.
Not everything is like complete, kind of, like it's, you don't really see everything. per se. So it really isn't worth it in the long run. But it was cool. It was fun just to see if I could do it. You know, other times you can go up like a straight mountain and look over the wall and you'll just see like, looks like a continuation of whatever, but you can't go there. I hate that. I want to just go there. If I'm going to fall off the other side of the world, I'd rather fall off. I just want to go. I just want to go. Oh, this is cool. And
yeah,
and that's it. Anyway, so Fable, the thing I was impressed with is number one, it's all hand drawn. Number two, nice. This thing I really like, and this harkens all the way back to Skyrim. There's been so many people lately that used to enjoy the older games saying, like, why do all the NPCs in the new games either don't do anything, or they're stupid, or they stand there, or they don't have any reaction, or whatever, right? And I'm really getting sick of that garbage. Well, this is throwing it all the way back to a Skyrim style in that respect. And they said there is over 1,000 NPCs that you can carry a conversation on and will remember what you said to them, so that they will, if you went up to them and said, you're an idiot and I hate you and you pissed me off, next time you walk by that person, they're going to sit there and yell obscenities
at you. Flip you the finger.
Exactly. And if you're really nice and you saved somebody or you, whatever, you found a treasure and gave it to whatever, that NPC will remember you and go like, oh, you're a saint, you're whatever. But they said that not only that, but when you carry on conversations with the NPC, there is a lot of dialogue lines. So you actually feel like you're talking to them and they're not just giving you the one answer. Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, no. They're actually going to say things. And I'm like, wow, that's great. I can't wait to do that. It gives you so much more to do. And they said they buried stuff all through the map that you can find. They said you literally could spend days in the city alone and not even leave the city. He said there's so much stuff going on. And I'm sitting there going like, damn, that sounds great to me. So I hope the game is everything they're talking about, because if it is, it's going to be a fun game.
That's fantastic.
In autumn of this year. So autumn is what? Is that spring? No, it's after fall.
After spring.
After summer. So we got a little time yet, but that's okay. The next game that I've never heard of, but it looked really interesting, was Beast of Reincarnation. Do you guys see this?
Nope.
No.
Do you guys ever watch any of the links I put in the notes or what?
No, I didn't see the Xbox Direct Showcase because I'm not as interested in that one, because they tend to be a bit crap, the showcases. But
well, this, though. I mean, Beast of Reincarnation was different. I kind of liked it. It was, again, it looked, it's more of a...
Is it something like Altered Beast from back in the day? Kind of has the same vibe to it?
Dinosaurs?
The character, from what I'm gathering, it makes friends with a big white wolf-like. But he's not just a wolf. You can see, like, the back end of him looks kind of like a plant, like, sort of. It's hard to explain. He looks like he has ivy growing out from the back over his tail and stuff, so he's part plant or something. So apparently the wolf and the character have a certain amount of powers of nature, or powers over the flora and fauna, which I thought was kind of a neat little twist. So when you're fighting bosses or whatever, he can actually call up vines to shoot out of the ground to hit the boss. He can also call on other different things in the forest to help the character along. And the character's pretty nasty. It's pretty nasty with a samurai sword too, so it's not like you have to do that, but you can. And then one of the things that I thought was really cool is the wolf is called Ku, K-O-O, and as you fight whatever enemy, it charges Ku up. So at some point, then Ku jumps in and he sends off an attack that helps you as well. You just tell Ku, hey, and when he's got enough energy, you just tell Ku to attack. Ku is the name of the wolf.
A Highland Ku.
Explain what a Highland Ku is. Go ahead.
It's those big, massive. It's those cows you see that are like really hairy, like hair everywhere, all over their face. They're
sounds like a Yeti.
I don't know if they're like Yetis or cows. I don't know if they're traditionally originally Scottish, but that's where you get your Angus beef from and stuff. So
Well, you kind of it's kind of like that. I mean, it is a hairy wolf. I mean. I don't know.
Get hairy from it. Charges up the coup, and I can just see this cow rampaging towards you.
But I thought the whole angle was neat. You sit there and you fight, and then you see Ku's energy building up, and then you tell Ku to attack. And he has his own attacks that are similar-ish, or nature-bound, I guess, whatever.
Yeah.
He sounds like Pokemon.
Not Pokemon, Beast of Reincarnation.
No, he sounds like a Pokemon. You get
him you're not catching him, though. You're slicing him up. Some of the look of the game looks fabulous, though. Some of these creatures and bosses look pretty cool.
The music is amazing,
The last one, I don't identify that much with, but you guys do, I guess, or some of you do. And that's Forza Horizon 6, which is coming out May 19th.
In Tokyo.
So they had a whole thing of that. And even though I don't really go for games like that, I got to admire that the cars and the graphics and the city and everything look really good.
Yeah, I just want to drive around Japan, mate. Last time I've done that, I'm finished. That's what I do with most of these games.
Yeah.
My son's lucky. He's been to Japan once already. So, he's going back in March.
Oh, jealous.
Nice. But, so what city is going to be in this one? Is it Tokyo? Because Tokyo is the biggest city in the world.
I think so, yes.
Oh, my God.
You can click on my link and take a peek at the video. But you know, in any case, so,
imagine ray tracing Tokyo. Good luck.
Yeah, it's gonna kill your beaks.
Gotta get the 5090. I won't be able to handle it.
The idea is they always put one city in. They can't put all of them in because it's just too much work. So they try and customize one city really, really well. Last game they done Mexico, and I can't remember which city was in that. The year before it was in the UK, and Edinburgh was chosen as a city because it wasn't too big. And I was like, hey, there's my flat. I can see it go past there. And they also done that with Project Gotham Racing back in the day as well. I can go, there's my flat.
See your head sticking out the window going like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to giving that a shot because it'll be on day one.
Yeah.
Day one.
Yeah, that'll be on. I don't know if Fable's going to be available day one as well. On Game Pass, so that's going to be cool. You don't have to pay for that
one. Beast, yeah.
You know, offhand, I mean, so pretty neat. Which one of you guys are Forza? I know you, Trev, you like Forza. Oh, no. Matt, you play it a lot or have?
No, I play it now and then, but it's just, I don't know. It's only so much you could do with racing and driving, to be honest.
That's kind of the way I look at it. Yeah. I rather race on circuit, so it's not really the open world style. So.
But they do have their normal Forza Motorsport, but I think they've temporarily stopped that because they let a lot of their staff members go at turn 10 or whatever it was. So that will be in hiatus for a while, which is a shame. That's equivalent of Gran Turismo for them, I guess.
I think you kind of brought it up, Trevor, it's not on the notes, but that's okay. Why don't wander into the Ubisoft thing? Ubisoft is getting, every time you think it couldn't get worse, it does get worse. And a good while back, we thought Ubisoft would go bankrupt. They're not going bankrupt, but it's the next best thing to it, to be honest. Now, I don't know which one of you guys posted in our Discord, but now they're going to fire 2,000 more devs. Not 100, not 200, 2,000 more.
2,000.
And I'm like, it is mad. It's like crazy. And then they decided that they were going to, I put it in the Discord, that they were going to post their plan on how they're going to, you know, bring everything back to where it needs to be. And I'm looking at this plan. I'm going like, I don't know. I mean, that's a lot to do. So they're going like Vantage. They name the, I don't even know, the houses that are doing this. So Vantage Studios is the Tencent buy. So it says here that they'll be working on Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, and Rainbow Six. They didn't mention anything else.
Right, is this in the notes? Where is it?
Huh? No, that's in the Discord. That's in the Discord.
Oh, okay, you're reading it from there.
I posted it, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to say about them. But getting rid of all these people really makes me feel bad. I can't believe these people are all getting let go. I just hope that they all land jobs at the smaller studios, because then we'll probably see some good stuff. They don't even name the other four studios. It's called Creative House 2. Really? Who's that?
Yeah.
Who?
And they said that's going to be covering shooters like Ghost Recon, Splinter Cell, and The Division. And then Creative House 3, again, I don't know what that is going to take care of Brawlhalla, who cares, For Honor, that's a good game, Riders Republic, I have no clue, Skull and Bones, why, and The Crew, which everybody says is supposed to be a great game. I don't know.
Never played it.
Until they take it offline, and then you can't play offline mode.
You can't, no, not on that one. I wish they had an Animus machine.
I don't even know what Brawlhalla is. It's a great name, though. I don't know if it's a good game, but Brawlhalla sounds like a good name. Can you imagine a bunch of Vikings all beating the crap out of each other or something?
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Creative House 4, again, we don't know what that is. is going to take care of Anno, Beyond Good and Evil, Might and Magic, Prince of Persia, and Rayman. But what I understand, Prince of Persia, they just
it's canceled.
They just can't. No, they said. Yeah. Well, they say. If you read, it's canceled. But they're going like, but we're not going to forget. We're gonna, you know, we're still gonna bring it out. And I'm sitting there going like, dude, you've been working on this for 5 years.
You know, one game that is not canceled. Yes.
The Division.
Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah, that was it.
Going up to 18 years now. 18
That's
years.
That's not happening, mate. Just take it as it's cancelled. Jesus, man. Go over it.
He has to bring that up, like putting the box up. You haven't done that yet.
I like Beyond Good and Evil. It was one of the best games.
That trailer looked really good when they popped one out. Not much of a trailer, but...
They what now?
A trailer that they
popped one out.
Popped one out, yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah. I think they were talking about the labor thing because before. It disappeared.
Creative House 5, whatever again that is, says that they're going to be taking care of Hasbro portfolio. They have a Hasbro portfolio?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's what makes those games into.
Then they
games,
have Hungry Shark. What is Hungry Shark? The opposite of Baby Shark? Or
nobody cares. Next.
Baby Shark that's very hungry.
I know. I'm looking at this thing and go, like, what the hell are these games? Uno is on here. Uno.
Hey, Uno. Everybody loves Uno.
As long as it's not Cards Against Humanity, I'm not interested. So.
Cards Against Humanity, bring it on.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Pretty wild, though. But anyway, I do feel bad about those people. But if they can land with other small studios, then that could actually be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so many of the small studios are pumping out great games. I read an article that was pretty interesting. I don't know if you guys agree, but they were saying that even though we've been complaining about the fact that the PC hobby is going down the drain with all the RAM not being available, et cetera, they said that games are actually going to probably, at the very least, stay on the same production, if not higher, because they said these small studios are all popping up and doing their own games, and we're benefiting because a lot of the games tend to be good. So I guess as far as what we play, it's going to be fun. We just can't build a computer better than what we got. That's all.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, for now. So we'll see.
Interesting.
All right, we're going to move along to Matt. Matt played another couple games, so I'll let him tell you all about it. Go ahead, Mr. Matt.
Yes. This time, I've been playing The Isle, the Dino Sim Survival that Bites Back. There we go. That is brilliant. Today, we're diving into The Isle, the Dino Sim Survival game on Steam. It's been in early access so long, it should probably start paying rent. I think it's back in 2015. Yeah.
Oh,
2015.
God.
Yeah.
2015?
Yeah. So, the turtle work in progress status, it remains one of the most intense, chaotic, and strangely addictive survival experiences out there, other than Xenos. What do you do in this game?
There's a Xeno on Hans right now.
Yeah. He needs one. He needs a face hugger. Did you steal Gray's dog and just paint it?
That was a poodle.
My dog's right there. He's laying next to me.
Prove it.
He shouldn't be in here. Somebody let him in.
Somebody let him in? That's okay. The daughter's hand again. There you go.
Yeah, right. Good.
Sorry, Matt. Yes. Go ahead. The Isle.
So, what's actually doing this game? Well, you don't build bases. You don't craft tools. You don't tame dinosaurs. You are the dinosaur. You spawn into a world either as an egg. Actual players can actually link together and lay an egg. Multiplayer romance is still alive and well. Or you could just go in as a juvenile, already hatched, but you're still very much on nature's snack menu. Either way, you're star tiny, you're fragile, and one bad decision away from becoming a footnote in somebody else's growth bar or in between their teeth. Growth, evolution, and why everything matters. So your dinosaur grows in real time. You have to eat, drink, survive, or you'll slowly evolve into a helpless hatchling, into a fully grown predator or herbivore powerhouse. And here's the catch. Every species plays differently and your choice has real consequences. Pick a glass cannon, carnivore, who knows? You'll hit hard, but die faster than your Wi-Fi drops during a boss fight. Choose a bulky herbivore, you're tanky, sure, but you'll spend half of your life listening to footsteps like you're in a prehistoric horror game. Horror game, no horror game. That's a different one altogether. Yeah. That might be a DLC.
Get that straight.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt they'd come out with one called that, though. I mean,
yeah. Oh, whoa. Right.
Dinosaurs still hordes. Horse simulator. Yeah. Matt'll be all over that.
I would be as well. Yeah. As long as they got those jiggle effects.
It's going to be called Hung Like a Horse.
Oh, my God.
That'll definitely bite back, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Too good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and if you die, all your progress is gone. There's no respawning as an adult or anything. Loads, last save. Just heartbreak and a fresh start as a baby again. It's brutal, but that's the point. So I went in many times. And many times. And couldn't find a heck what I was going through. But the next segment, we'll kind of realize this issue. Yeah, so I spent a lot of time as a tiny Omni-Raptor, which is basically a dino equivalent of a street rat with ADHD. You're fast, you're nimble, and you die if anybody sneezes in your direction.
Get rid of hands then.
Yeah. Scavenging becomes your religion. You're not hunting. You're waiting for bigger predators to finish their meal and hoping they don't notice you steal the leftovers. It's tense, it's hilarious, but surprisingly rewarding when you finally grow into something that can survive more than 3 seconds in a fight. In this, there is two different map or server eras, I guess you could call it. There's the Evirma.
What language is that?
Okay. Evrima. That's the one they call this.
Irish.
Yeah. Versus Legacy. So there's two eras there. They all have two versions. Legacy is the old style where we all kind of started playing this game, where it was old, chaotic, loads of dinosaurs, and it looks like it was rendered in a microwave. I kept going on to there and finding that the servers are rubbish. It's all Chinese, or there's just nothing in the world at all, and there's no way.
When you do get in there, the graphics any good or what?
Well, in Legacy, not so good, but in Evrima, I have to do that again, which you have to choose on the drop down in your Steam, go to properties and go to betas, and you'll find it there. Tickets, and you're fine. Mm-hmm. The modern rebuild with better visuals, better movements, better combat, and a more grounded survival loop. There's quite a few dinosaurs. There's still more to be added, of course, but everything feels more alive and a lot more dangerous. So it's where the devs are doing their work. So that's the version worth your time. So do it. Change
how many,
over to
how many dinosaurs can you pick from at this point?
There's loads. There's 12 carnivores. There's your herbivores, which I think there's like 20 different ones there. And then you've got your omnivores, who are two.
Both ways.
Yeah. So
they go both ways.
They do indeed. Yeah. So I played an omnivore for a bit, and I realized that I couldn't eat any meaty obstacles unless there was a crab. If there's a crab or a tiny rabbit, then yeah. But I was running around trying to find in a luscious forest some berries to eat, and I couldn't find anything. I was going to say couldn't find shit. I couldn't find anything to eat at all. So
well, you would have ate that if you could have found it.
I would have done it. At least there's something. Mars bar. Yeah.
Which brings up the candy. Phrase, eat. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Eat it, Dylan. Yeah. So how's it hold up from today? So surprisingly well. The player's base is strong. The worlds look incredible. And the survival loop is unlike anything else. It's harsh, unforgiving.
That's what they say.
Occasionally heartbreaking, and that's the way we like it, apparently. Every death feels very personal. Every growth is a milestone and feels earned. You've earned that space there. And every encounter becomes a story or your death. So on this one, the Isle is the closest thing we have to a true dinosaur life simulator. It's raw, tense, full of unforgettable moments. Ah, bless. It's not finished. It's not polished. And it absolutely does not care about your feelings at all. Sod them. Eat them. Yeah, eat them along with the other dinosaurs. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Master Simulator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
But if you want a game where survival means something, try it out. It's good fun.
Cool.
And
what's the second game?
So the second one. Oh, now this one will get your cheeks a-chapping. You'll love this one. Okay. Right. So, Rustler, Grand Theft Horse, and Emotional Damage. That's what we should call this one.
That's the whole name.
Wait, no, is that just from Epic? Is that just
It is.
That? Oh, yeah, yeah, looks like GTA from top bottom view.
That's right. Yeah. So we're talking about Rustler, also known as the Grand Theft Horse. The medieval...
Is that not a burger, Matt? Sorry, that's a burger you put in the microwave for 3 minutes. No, you can it's have a burger you put in there. You heat it up in the microwave. Yeah. They're shit. They're really bad.
They're probably shit. Sorry. But
the Atlanta was a thug.
They're nice shit. Yeah. It keeps you going. They're actually last better than McDonald's. Let's just say that. Anyways. Yeah.
Was it in the game?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
The medieval parody game that asks the important questions. What if GTA 2 and Monty Python had a baby and that baby immediately stole a horse and ran over your peasant? Now he's a naughty boy. That's what would happen. It's a top-down crime.
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I'm feeling much better. Monty Python sketches here, guys.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if that game really is what you just said, I'd play it because if it has that kind of humor in it, that'd be great.
Claim it from Epic Games, it mate. It's the free latest free Epic. Game from Epic.
Get it. Do it now.
What is it? Wait. What's the latest free game?
Epic.
It's called
Rustler.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. So they have a baby. It's a top-down crime sandbox, yet in ye olden times. And on paper, sounds brilliant. In practice, well, let's just say the horse isn't the only thing that feels a bit clunky. The concept is medieval GTA with jokes. Let's give credit where it's due. The idea behind Rustler is fantastic. You're basically a medieval troublemaker doing quests, causing chaos, outrunning guards, and committing crimes that would make a bard drop his loot in horror. It's unapologetically silly, full of aristocratic humor, you know what I'm trying to say there, and dripping with nostalgia for those GTA classics, overhead days. Dripping. If you grew up playing these early GTA games, Rustler hits that same chaotic sweet spot, including horses with flashing lights. It's mad. Horse theft, jousting tournaments.
Wait. Horses with flashing lights?
Yeah. Flashing lights. So these knights are like the police and they come after you. And they do pretty much the same in GTA. They smash into you and slash you. There you go. It's got dumb jokes. It's got weird side quests. It's all there. The controls, though, this is where the romance ends for me. So in a bad way, at first, the game feels fun and goofy, and you start fighting the controls like you're arresting a greased pig in a tavern. Movement feels stiff. Combat feels very floaty and sluggish. Horse riding feels like piloting a shopping trolley with one wheel missing. We've all done that.
It is.
And the key bind sometimes feels like there was chosen by someone who hates hands. Hands, not hands.
Poor hands.
Maybe they hate both. I don't know. It's not unplayable. It's just unnecessarily awkward. You spend more time battling the controls and the guards chasing you. And after a while, the charm starts to wear a bit thin. The gameplay loot, though. The medieval open world, quests with tongue-in-cheek humor, a wanted system, not a winted. God knows where that came from. There you go.
Winted.
Horse chases. Silly weapons, a soundtrack that sounds like peasants are trying to rap. It's fun with short bursts, especially when you're in a mood for something light and ridiculous. It's brilliant. You can actually press tab. The guy farts and burps.
Okay.
Fantastic.
That's our type of game.
That
I'm all over it.
I'm in for that. If that's free on Epic, I got to go get it.
Yeah. It's a comedy sketch that goes on a bit too long, but still very funny. But you still start checking your watch when you need to, though. Humor. Rustler doesn't take itself seriously for even 1 second. You'll see harsh parking zones a medieval DJ who beatboxes, peasants arguing about the most stupidest of things, quests that parody pop culture, guards who act like medieval cops on a power trip, and this, the GTA bit, it's lovely. It's goofy, it's self-aware, and it's generally entertaining. When the controls aren't trying to assassinate your patience, it's good. Yeah. So if you like the old school GTA overhead games, the concept alone would make you smile. But after a few hours, the charm starts fighting a losing battle against the awkward movement and combats. It is worth trying, though, if you're into the mood for medieval chaos and don't mind wrestling with controls. Just be prepared to shout, "Why won't you turn?" at your horse at every bloody moment. There you go.
Cool.
There's your rustler for you. And not
hey,
just
the
a
price
burger.
Is right. If it's free, it's free. We're on it.
And it is a good laugh. It's quite funny.
Yeah.
Very good. Appreciate it, Matt. That sounds pretty cool.
You
definitely want to look into some of that.
The
dinosaur one is pretty. Sounds pretty cool, too, if they can get over their issues. But still, it sounds like fun.
It is, yeah.
I think I'd rather pick. If I'm going to get dinosaur, I want to pick, what is it? The used to be the Brontosaurus. Now it's a lot. I forget the new name.
A Longanecosaurus.
Apaposaurus or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, you're so huge. All you just do is just sit on the other people, and that's it. You sit on the dinosaurs and you crush them.
Squish
them
with your foot. Yeah.
Who
said
heck,
that?
You know?
Squish. Yeah. Oh, what?
Or you can imagine when it has to relieve itself, it could just drown the dinosaur.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. This is not a caprice I signed up for.
That's right. That should be a weapon. They should really have it as a weapon. I mean, why not?
True.
It would be funny.
Yeah.
Listen, if we were game developers, we would be doing that right now.
We would. We'd be shitting on anybody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to drift into some hardware tech news now, and Trev's up with a bunch of stuff. So take it away, Trev.
Really quickly beforehand, that Rustler game is free for another 3 days.
3 days. Oh, okay.
So
3 days,
you need to end amongst that. I mean, that's the time of recording. By the time you listen to it, it's probably gone. So apologies, but it'll be cheap. And then the game after that is called, it's coming out. It's not out yet. It's called Definitely Not Fried Chicken.
Is it not?
Definitely Not Fried Chicken. That is what it's called. I don't know if it's a simulator, but I know Matt has to be all over that. Whatever happens.
I'm all over your fried
Matt,
chicken.
By the way, I sent Matt, by the way, a sandwich simulator.
Christ.
I told him he has to play that.
Oh, God.
This ought to be interesting. Well, he had that one about the food cart the other week, last week, so this kind of fits, right?
Yeah. I had the liquor store last week, and the time before that, I think it was the food truck sim, which was kind of shit.
Anyway, go ahead, Trev. We digress.
Go on, Trev.
Yes.
Give us your Zotac.
Zotac, the guys that make graphics cards, amongst other things, who I really like because I've had a couple of Zotac cards in the past, have been doing the dirty. They reportedly have been cancelling RTX 5090 orders, then hiking up the prices, citing system error. So instead of honouring the price that they had before and going, right, we made a boo-boo, they cancel it. And they raised the prices by over 20% overnight. 20%. That's absolutely disgusting. I think it was, so this is in dollars. Their 5090 lineup prices went from $2,300 to $2,800. Just to give you one example,
I said, that's a good price.
No, it's a good price, but it's how much it's increased by. Because the thing is, you've got to think of what MSRP is.
Mm-hmm.
In America, for a 5090, it's $2,000 or $1,999. So that's probably one of the cheaper ones. And they have another one. They have one at $2,400. It went up to $2,900. And then a $2,450 that went up to $3,000. So they're increasing it quite a lot. I thought that was a bit sneaky, to be honest with you, because I actually like Zotac, but as Gray said, it's still a good price, actually, to be fair. So
that's pretty rude, though, to cancel an order. Just, I mean,
because they made
if you're going to raise the price and you didn't cancel an order, okay, that's pretty, that's not good.
Staying on the kind of the GPU side of things, You expect normally, guys, when you pay $3,000+ for an RTX 5090, that you get a 5090. But be careful if you order it from Amazon, because instead, and you guys can look at the link for this that I put in the notes, you may get rocks and a till delivered instead.
A couple of Coke bottles.
I mean, that's pretty sneaky, making it pretty heavy, so that you would think it was the... I'll try to think what model it's supposed to be. It was this MSI Supreme. Yeah. MSI Supreme, yeah.
I got to know one thing, Trevor, real quick. Did you pick this story out because you know what I did? You must.
No, I didn't. I didn't. But, I mean, it goes towards what you're doing, Gray. I mean, if you just get a couple of dead rats in there to, like, make up the weight, then then you know what's going on. It's too good to be true. but, yeah, this was... somebody in Reddit posted this, and this is one of the third-party... They've got a third-party marketplace there, don't they? So he said the Redditor mentioned they had trouble buying the 5090 on Amazon four times in a row, so people are wondering why he didn't switch retailers. However, he mentions that he managed to get a unit from Amazon Resale, which is normally pretty decent. And for those that don't know what the program means, it's a section of the usual marketplace where one can get refunded items at discounted prices.
Yeah, refunded. According
to Amazon, Amazon Resale, items are checked thoroughly to ensure that the items being delivered meet expectations. But in this particular case, those checks were apparently missing. he's blaming the Amazon's quality control measures, saying they probably saw the box as heavy enough and decided to let it go, even for a high-value item. It seems Amazon isn't even considering the contents of the packaging at all and basing the shipment solely on its weight, which is wrong, obviously. If it was a one-time incident, we wouldn't be reporting it seriously, but I've read of stories myself online where this has happened before, and it'll probably happen to Gray probably later today and over the next couple of days. So... it's getting wrong. And I tell. Why the tell? Anyway.
Well, wait. Let me interject here so that people understand why they're ribbing me about this. Yeah. I went on Amazon. I wasn't looking for a 5090. I was curious what they were selling for because the price keeps going up. And all of a sudden, I hit one, a good MSI Gaming Trio, the same one I have, 5090. Mm-hmm. And it goes $1,069. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. I said, that's got to be garbage. I go ahead and click on it. Sure enough, it lets me put the order in and pay for it. And I go, okay. Now, of course, I use a credit card. I'm not going to get screwed. And then I figured that was it. And then all of a sudden, I said, I wonder if that's anywhere. And I do another search, and another one pops up. And I buy that. And then another one pops up, and I buy that one, too.
What model was it, Gray? Was it the same model three
all,
times?
They're all MSI Gaming Trio 5090s, supposedly.
Right, okay.
So I don't expect them to come here for real. But the funny thing is, when I look at Amazon, I have one coming, we hope, by the before the podcast ends. And that'll
The reason I know it's probably bullshit is because if it was at least round about the $2,000 mark, which is MSRP, which is hard enough to bloody get as it is, almost impossible, then I'd go, okay, that's a great deal. I still would doubt it. But it's like half the price of one. And that's just mental.
It is.
It's gonna be rocks or like a flesh
5070.
4070. I was gonna say something.
It could just be 960.
Yeah, it could just be some vibrators that someone put in there or something. You know,
well used.
And
once.
You're like, what is that?
I'll pick up the box. It'll be going. I got a better one, you know. You know how you were saying that the what do you call it? That they refurbish and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. If it's a bag of rocks that comes for me, I'm gonna package it up and say refurbish this. Refurb a rock. What else can you do?
By the way, great.
Seriously, best thing you can do is film the unboxing for yourself.
I was literally about to say that, Hans. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Film it before you open it. Get your son to do it and then open it up just to make sure they think you're not pulling their leg.
Or I don't know if I can resist this, but let's say it arrives today. Who knows? I could, because Amazon is a 30-day, you know, guarantee.
Guarantee, yeah.
I could wait, not open it until we do the podcast next week, and then I'll open it up.
That would be great.
On the air.
I think so, yeah.
I might do that. I might just try to resist, you know.
Oh,
and then we'll do it on the air, and it's like, oh, look what I got.
Yeah. Well, you can always record it and put it on still.
Oh, by the way,
what's that space?
Mm-hmm. You're going to love this. One of the listings when I bought it said that it weighed 10 ounces.
Yeah.
There's 3 pounds or more. Is it 10 ounces? Like, okay. Well, it's a shrunken car. It's only this big, little tiny thing.
Yeah, it's just like one of those Lego ones or something.
10 ounces in 283 grams.
Wow. Okay, that's you've been shafting me. You've been it's too good to be true. It's too good to be true.
It could also be a picture of the 1590s. So
yeah, there you go.
Do you might know why it's so light? Because that's the weight of the box.
Yeah, there you go.
Somebody received a charging cable instead of the GPU itself.
Yeah,
from the reviews that you said.
Oh, you know what it'll be? It'll be like Hans said. It'll be a picture of 1590 tied to a rock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. a wood carving. There we go.
Yeah, wood carving. Yeah, that'd be great. It actually works.
Yeah.
The last piece of tech gaming news. Well, actually, it's not really gaming news. Kinda tech news is something that's actually not exclusive just to the PS6, but also to quite a few other things for obvious reasons in a moment, which I'll explain. The heavy rumours around the industry are that the PS6 is likely going to be delayed longer than many people expected, leaving prices that only things will keep evolving and not for the better. I'm not surprised by this. The cost of things at the moment... the PS5 Pro is just over a year old. It's got more room to breathe with PSVR2 or PSVR2, as the boys like to call it, or FSR 4.0, whatever they call it. It's got room to breathe and get better, and it will do. Considering that was £700, $800, that is already stupidly expensive. It's trying to bring up another console that making it competitive in price, because then you start pricing out these people and they go, right, I'm just going to get a low to mid-level gaming PC instead, which is enter Steam machine. Yeah. Sorry?
When you said the low to mid-level computer, I was saying there is no such thing.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Well,
yeah, true. So this is not the only thing that will be delayed. More likely, I'd imagine the next Xbox would be delayed as well. But we're expecting these consoles to come out probably by the end of 2027. People are saying now, don't be surprised if it's 2029 before we see new things like that. Maybe even longer. Not surprised. But let's say it'll be the same with the Xbox, probably. It will be because of all these cost increases for components, RAM being the big one, and it's going to be really expensive for a couple of years now, at least we don't expect it to settle before probably 2027, 2028. If they would have to pass on the price to people, and it would just be too expensive for a bloody console. So the fact that a Pro's out at the moment at 700, if you bring out a PS6, it's got to be more powerful than the Pro, but also have a lower price bracket to compete. So I don't know what's going to happen there. Everything's been affected by this. It's going so far that everything and anything is getting affected. Mm-hmm. AI is going to... Sorry?
It was a matter of time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's filtering through, isn't it?
Now it really is a matter of time, a long time.
Yeah.
AI is literally gobbling up 70% of the RAM.
World supply, yeah.
World supply, and then that's a knock-on effect to all these other devices as well. So
everything has RAM.
Yeah, exactly. So many things have RAM. Don't be surprised if it also affects things that are already
RAM,
like the Switch 2. That could be affected because they buy their orders for RAM way in advance, but then that only lasts for so long. There's only so much of a
I mean, we haven't officially had the Steam machine prices announced, but the rumors were $950, $1,000, and if that's the case, then that's them not making a loss in it. So, well, it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, everything's getting affected at the moment. Yeah. That is all I've got for the tech news. I've got gaming news as well right after, because Hans is not getting any...
Nothing special.
He's not feeling like he's getting monthly.
Hans is hanging in there with that cold, man. He's doing okay.
Yeah, fine. So
you didn't catch off your CPU, did you?
What? Sorry?
You didn't catch it off of AMD or anything, did you?
I probably did.
Yeah, that was it. He was ranting so much on AMD.
I actually have buyers lined up to buy that stuff. So
do you?
Even without the RAM.
So. Nice.
That's great.
So, but the problem is, I need an Intel chip, and I'm waiting for the 290. If everything ever, there's no news on that one. So,
What are the rumors saying, Hans, about when
the rumors were saying this month, but there's nothing official. So,
is there no Intel like conference, press conference, or keynote?
Nothing in there. So,
just hearsays.
Yeah,
you're just gonna see it go on sale. They won't say a damn thing.
Well, it's interesting. They don't have a date announced, right? And the AMD don't have a date announced for the 9950X 3D2. So, and they'll be competing with each other, those two chips. Mm-hmm. So, watch this space.
But you know, actually, they shouldn't be in the conversation as a gaming chip, I think. So, they should really rebrand that thing. So,
it'll be the fastest gaming chip out there. Maybe just a little bit more than the 9850 X3D, but in paper, it'll probably be a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm. In order to make that one work, you need to do the whole trickery again, which you need a new motherboard for now, just to beat.
That's a lot of fiddling.
There's motherboards now with the Switch on there, which is crazy. I mean, that's
not yeah, this is why I'm on the computer for 4 years.
This is why I'm probably not going for that with the problems of the CCDs and switching. And if it's crazy. Stick with just a 9850 X3D, then there is no switching because it only has one fucking CCD
which,
on it.
Which, by the way, according to your own link, is almost the same as a 9800 X3D, which is insane.
I don't see how it could be with 400 megahertz more. Kind of mad.
That article did say that even though there was some, you know, smart people testing it, they couldn't test everything. And they even admitted that. They can't test everything.
To be fair, if you just look at the specs and then, you know, compare it to the 9800 X3D, you're talking about what? In the best case scenario, you're probably going to get between 7 and 10%. And that's a 1080p low, right? So this is just a bit of a refresh with a higher clock. And they should probably just discontinue the 9800 X3D at this point. So just
drop the price.
They won't. I know.
That has dropped in price, though. That you can get an Amazon the 9800 for £400.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the 9850 is going to be £500 when it launches. Maybe slightly cheaper if you look for deals. The embargo for it is on the 29th, and it releases on the 30th. So I've got a couple of like stock alerts in with a couple of retailers here to see when it arrives so that I can, I'll probably just get that one in, to be honest with you, boys.
If you're just gaming or mostly gaming, just get it.
If I knew the 9950 X3D2 wouldn't have a problem with the CCDs and whatnot, then I would be all over that, you know, just for the bragging rights. But I don't want to risk paying that kind of money to have even a small issue. So,
no, but see, like I said earlier, the fact that they're already being on motherboards with a Switch, it's probably going to be the same. That's what I mean. So,
probably,
telltale signs.
But yeah, I'll let you know what happens with that. A little bit of gaming news I've got on my side of things, moving on from the hardware tech news. You won't be surprised to hear that Battlefield has officially outsold Call of Duty for the first time ever last year, as Black Ops 7 drops down to fifth place.
Not surprised.
Which is mental. 2025 marked Call of Duty's worst US chart placement in 17 years, according to Circana, which monitors video game sales in the US of A. I'm not surprised. They've gotten a bit lazy with the copy-paste mentality of instead of bringing out something else completely different, they just went, oh, Black Ops 6 done good. Let's just do Black Ops 7 now. Instead of refreshing it again, you should always be staying ahead of the curve and not taking anything for granted with a game like this. Battlefield 6, was it 6? Yes. Done really, really well. From what I've saw of it and played a little bit of it, it did look really, really good, a bit refreshing. This has actually kicked the backsides of those at Activision a little bit to not be so lazy. And they have said that they're going to come out and actually try and win this war again. But, I mean, Battlefield only comes out every few years. They have time to work on it. We've been over this argument many times before. Stop bringing a game out every year, because there's no way you're going to make it as good as it possibly can be when you do that.
You're just going to run out of ideas.
Well, that's it. Yeah. That's the gaming industry, Hollywood, you name it.
Yeah.
They're all running out of it. Like games that are ahead of it, like second was NBA 2K26, like a basketball game, really?
Yeah.
Borderlands 4, yeah, that's fair. That's in there. Monster Hunter Wilds. Not my cup of tea, but it's very, very popular.
Yeah.
And then obviously Black Ops 7, so...
I did hear that The Wrestler actually outsold it too.
Yeah, and that's right. They got a lot more purchase.
So you know it's bad.
Graham was talking about this before. I'll just touch upon it a little bit more. He was talking about Forza Horizon 6 before. From what I saw of it, looked really, really good. I was wanting to touch upon that one a little bit more because I like driving around pretty places, so that's Forza Horizon for you. So May the 19th official release day. If you buy the premium edition, you get it May 15th. And it's kind of similar to the other games where you have that Horizon Festival. You turn up as a tourist in Japan. Once you've qualified, players they have to complete showcases and a new Horizon Rush obstacle course event to earn more wristbands, they're calling it in this game, to work their way up the festival ranks. If they earn the gold wristband, they will unlock access to Legend Island, where they can meet Trev. No, I'm only joking. where they can access exclusive challenges and races. No, I'm not great at those games. The good thing about that game is it's got so many cars in it. It will feature more than 500. See, when they say more than, I wish you would just give us the feckin' number.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. The game will feature more than 550 cars at launch, with more to follow.
551 then,
as DLC, and a new feature designed to let players earn some of the vehicles quicker. Aftermarket cars can be found parked on driveways around the environment.
Really?
What, are you going to nick
them? They used to do the barn, didn't they?
Yeah. Steal them, man. GTA.
All right. Cool.
You know, Forza.
See a Lamborghini over there. Like, no problem. Take that one.
mine. There'll be new race types added to the game as well. One of the things I love about these games, like I say, is driving around the country, seeing beautiful, pretty scenery. And Japan looks stunning. The kind of long, narrow mountain courses that kind of meander around. That sounds absolutely fantastic. The game's Tokyo region will be 5 times larger than anything Playground Games has created before, which... Hmm. I mean, they had to. Like, Tokyo is the world's biggest city.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, really had to be something special, or it's one of the biggest. See that or Istanbul.
One of the biggest. Yeah, I don't know.
You didn't check?
No, I didn't. I've got a life just
Come
about.
Come on!
As in other Forza Horizon games, there'll be eight players' house. There'll be eight players' house which can be bought, served as like your travel point and garages, as has always been in the past. However, this time players will also have access to the estate. Dun, dun, dun. A much larger piece of land set around an abandoned piece of property in rural Japan, which can be fully customized. So I've got an image in my head of like
garages everywhere, strip clubs, bars, condoning, drink driving, all these things on your own private plot of land. No clue what to expect in that one. But really, in practice, the state is a flat area of land where you can build anything you want. So maybe I'll get my dream after all.
Let me interject real quick, because I know there's people out there that really are dying to know this. Tokyo has long been considered the world's largest city by population.
37
with
million.
Yeah, 37 million people. Holy smokes. That's like in a little island.
Right.
I think. That's way bigger than I even thought it was. 37 million. Wow. Whew. I wonder how long it takes to go from one end to the other.
Yeah.
You can find out.
They you always, don't see that much before you see it.
They always shrink these things down. So it won't be out on PS5 immediately. That'll be later this year. I mean, the priorities, understandably, are Xbox and PC. And it's Playground Games, who I'm sure were working on Fable. I'm sure it's those guys. And Turn 10 Studios. I'm looking forward to it. That'd be cool. I'll play it for a little while, like I do every Forza game, and then get bored and then not play anymore. It's a good, fun multiplayer game. And I think we all have Game Pass here. So,
yeah.
You know, last but not least, Hans will be interested in this bit of news. So, wake up, Hans. Resident Evil, Code Veronica remake.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely the best Resident Evil ever made.
That was a good one.
I've not played the original, but the remake could possibly launch. And H1 2027, that is the first half of the year for those that don't know, say the insider. That sounds a bit right because, listen, remakes are not for everyone. Some people love them, some people hate them. Resident Evil remakes are good.
Yeah, they are good.
I've not played a shit one yet. I haven't played the original Code Veronica, but Hans obviously has. Hans, do you recall off the top of your head where it's or when it's set? Is it in between like 5 and 6 or 4 and 5?
I don't remember the timeline. I just remember it was set in like a snowy region laboratory. That's about all. And I remember a big spider under the ice following you all the time. So that's about all I remember. But I remember
spider under the ice. Cool.
Because I had to rent a Dreamcast back in the day to play that game. The original one was released on Dreamcast, so I had to rent it. Just to play Code Veronica. I think it released on the PlayStation 2 or 3 also later. I'm not sure. So I played the original one on Dreamcast, and it was a really weird controller, by the way. So
It does say here the original game was out for the Sega's final console, Dreamcast. That sounds about right, which was... I'm trying to see if there was a date here for it. Eventually went on PS2, GameCube, Xbox 360, and PS3. Yeah. But it didn't get much traction there. But
it's an underrated Resident Evil. A lot of people haven't played it, and if you haven't played it, just play it. It's really good.
And if you're like
good,
me, you're not going to. Wait for the remake.
No, of course, yeah.
But you could do both. I'll be curious to see this. I did say a little while ago when I was reading the rumors online that the next two remakes that were rumored to launch would be Code Veronica and Resident Evil Zero. That's the game that Nintendo came out and Nintendo did it.
It was the only one, wasn't it? I think I have that on Steam also now.
It's out now in other platforms, but at the time, I think it just came out on, what was it, the N64? I don't know. It's a Nintendo Explosion, I'm sure. So 2027 for Code Veronica. They're deep in development just now at the moment with that. And then 2028 is rumoured to be Resident Evil Zero. Have you played Resident Evil Zero, Hans?
No, I haven't played that one.
Wow. So, interesting. Okay. We're disappointed in you now.
Yeah, I haven't played Resident Evil Zero.
Favorite franchise of all.
You said earlier that all Resident Evil remakes were good, but I have to point out that the third one, they kind of missed the ball on that one. The game looked fine, but there were some pivotal moments from the original Resident Evil 3 that they didn't put in the game, like the clock tower and all that kind of stuff. It's like, this was a really missed opportunity. So the fourth one was a lot better, by the way, than the third one. So
I loved the fourth one. Absolutely.
Two and four remakes are masterpieces. The third one...
Four is possibly my favorite, to be honest with you. Possibly.
Okay. For me, that's Code Veronica, but when it comes to the remakes, they're both good, but I like the story in the second one better. That's all. So I also like four. But...
Regarding Code Veronica, for those that haven't played it and they are looking forward to this remake, which is me, the game takes place around 3 months after Resident Evil 2. So there we go. Its protagonists are the Redfield siblings, Claire and Chris, who desperately try to survive a viral outbreak at a remote prison island in the Southern Ocean and a research facility in Antarctica, as
That's snow. What I remembered vaguely.
Snow and penguins pissing you off. But yeah, that is what I've got for the gaming news side of things, Mr. Gray.
Sounds good. I just want to give you a 5090 update.
No.
Has it arrived?
Okay.
No, it hasn't arrived, darn it.
But has it changed
resist. We are going to open box it next week, so everybody tune in to find out whether I got a rock, a picture, or a cable.
Or dildo.
When's it due to arrive? I thought it was due to arrive now. Is it like...
Well, here's the thing, though. It's due to arrive.
Is it a window? Is it a 2-hour window or something?
Yeah,
the
window's like a 3-hour window. So.
Oh, 3-hour window, is it? Right. Okay.
Yeah, but it's still on target. Now, my second one I ordered seems to have disappeared. I don't know.
Yeah, the second one is inside the box of the first one.
Yeah.
Russian dolls.
However, the one I'm supposed to be getting on Sunday is still good. It's still good. So... I don't know.
Well, watch that space, out. Man.
It's hilarious. I think this is fun. This is dumb, but it's fun. Anyway, all right. So we are going to move over to the quiz, the EGP famous quiz. I've been messing with it, trying to do something different. Last time we had the console versus PC kind of thing. This time we're going to be doing a true-false round. It's going to be based on shooters, aim wars, they call it. We're calling it. In other words, the aiming, is it better in a mouse and keyboard as opposed to controllers, la, la, la. And, you know, our auto, what do they call it? Aim correct? Aim assist, right.
Aim assist,
consoles, yeah. So I'm going to read out a statement. It's pretty 50-50, so you guys just go true or false, and we'll see where we're at. Try to keep track of your score, because I'm not. All right, number one, mouse and keyboard users generally have faster target acquisition due to higher turn speed and precision.
Yeah, no.
True or false?
Of course they do. True. If anything is old, yes,
it
true.
Depends on the person. I would say true. It does depend how good they are, but yes.
Okay. True is correct. So you all got a point.
There it's a bit better. Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
All right. Doesn't help me. One. So, but yeah.
No, it doesn't. Second one, aim assist completely removes recoil in most modern shooters.
No. False. That's your
false.
Your hacky.
I would say
cheap
false
thing.
As well.
Yeah. What do you think, Hans?
I'm going to go for false. I have no idea.
Is this for PC or ding, ding, for console? Ding,
ding. Off for you. You get a point again.
Yeah. No, it's aim assist. You don't aim assist on PC. Yeah.
So it's not going on console. They're crossing over.
Yeah.
On, back and forth.
Aim assist is a controller thing, no?
Yeah.
All right, number three, controller aim assist is typically stronger at close range than long range in many shooters.
True.
Huh? False.
I'll read it again. Controller aim assist is typically stronger at close range than long range in many shooters.
In that case.
I'm going to say true because I think it has to be. Otherwise, you know.
You'd be buggered, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
True.
So, ding, 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 you all get a point again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Man, you guys doing good. All right, here comes the last one. This one's going to be a little tough, but we'll see. Maybe
four questions.
We're moving along here. All right, so here we go. I'll have to probably read this twice because even I don't know if I understand it. But anyway, cross-play shooters. Often balance input methods by adjusting damage values between controller and mouse players. One more time. Cross-play shooters often balance input methods by adjusting damage values between controller and mouse players.
No.
True or false?
I refuse to believe false. This. False. No, no, can't, they can't do that.
I'm going to say true, actually, just to...
False, no. Because the whole point of having aim assist is so you don't need to do something like that.
If they would do that, that would be like a legal form of cheating. They can't. No.
Yeah, cheating.
So, no.
Woo!
No.
Adjust damage. Y'all,
everybody's false?
Yeah.
We got a three-way tie. Ding, 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 ding.
Four-way, don't
So you can all claim that you won.
Yay.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
Default.
You guys did good. I thought for sure you missed at least one of these, but you didn't. Y'all did good. So that's great.
Yay.
Cool. All right. And do we have any other last minute things anybody wants to say or talk about? We have a wee bit of time, but it doesn't matter one way or the other.
It's good work. Play more.
Well, I will remind everybody that around February 5th, we're going to have Extreme Hollywood. It's going to be kind of like this show, but in an entertainment vein. And it will not be a critic show because we don't like critics. And we're going to be commentators and talk about what we like, what we don't like, kid around, fool around, go off on tangents, just like we do here every week. But this will be monthly. So we should have fun. We're going to be covering a bunch of stuff. We'll talk a little Marvel, DC, and where they're going, up or down. and stuff. I mean, by the way, Super Bowl is coming up over here, and supposedly,
they're
going to be showing the full Doomsday trailer the Super Bowl.
Okay, just for the listeners out there, our tastes in movies are completely different between me and you two. So.
That's the whole point of the four of us, because we cover each other's bases if somebody doesn't, you know. Prefer this or that, so that actually works in everybody's favor.
By the way, quick question on that one, because we still have a little bit of time, right? Just yes or no. Yes. Do you think Sinners deserved 16 Oscar nominations? Yes or no?
Ooh,
I say no. I'm sorry. I like the movie, but no.
How many different? Well, we're gonna talk about that. How many different noms did it get?
16, the record.
How do you get 16? Categories?
I don't know. It is a good movie. I really liked it. One of the best movies last year, but 16 Oscar nominations. No.
But the thing I like about that movie, though, is it made a lot of money against how much it cost.
It's a good movie. I mean, I'm not disputing that one.
Yeah.
But 16 Oscar nominations? Oh, my.
Yeah, the tunes as well.
Yeah. There's very rarely a movie that ever deserves that many nominations.
There's only one movie that actually sweeped the Oscars, and that was Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Oh, is
they
it?
Everything.
Back. Which one was it?
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. They won 12 Oscars,
I
think.
I remember
it was.
That. Yeah,
all of them. They won everything in all categories, which is the only movie to hold that one. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, they did make new categories. One of the categories I think that they did do, which I thought was wonderful, they should have done this long ago. Apparently, there's a new Academy Award now for stunt guys in the movies.
I agree.
So the people that actually do all these crazy stunts, if they feel that it was the best stunt, they're getting an Academy Award.
It should
rightfully
be.
So,
Tune into Extreme Hollywood Podcast for more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Whoops. This was a quick snippet of what we're getting. So.
Quick snippet of how it's going to go.
Games.
We'll just roll up into it now. Sorry. All right, guys. I really appreciate everybody coming out and having fun. So we will be back next week on Extreme Gaming Podcast as usual with some more fun and games. Get it? Fun game. As well as other things. And we will talk to you all then. So everybody say bye-bye.
May the games be with you.
Revenge is a cinematic masterpiece. There we go.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.